people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining. People, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no.
But what we want to talk about today is what I'm calling another world. And I want to share with you a couple of stories. These are cultural. And I want you to take it even further than cultural. I want you to take it even further than cultural. I forget which of his books, but in one of the Malcolm Gladwell books, he talks about the Korean airliner that went down a few years ago. And they looked at what happened and they studied the voice data recorders up until the crash, et cetera. And what was interesting, if I recall, what was the pilot was coming in too low, basically. And the co-pilot realized this and made a comment about the fact that they were coming in too low. And then he made another comment a little bit later. And then he made another comment a little bit later, and shortly thereafter, no correction was done, and shortly thereafter, the plane hit the ground and everyone was killed. Now, Gladwell's contention in this and his observation, which I thought was really, really interesting, was cultural. And he goes on to, by the way, if you've never read anything by Malcolm Gladwell, pick up anything, you'll love it. His contention or the study found that in Korean culture, there is such a hierarchical structure for any job, whether it's running a deli or piloting a jetliner, that the number two, three, four people, you would never, ever question the person in charge, no matter what, no matter what. You would not. And so what they did was they looked back, and yes, indeed, the co-pilot did make observations and expressed the fact that they were coming in too low. However, they were so indirect. They were something along the line of, I wonder if maybe we might possibly check our altitude. Something like that. I mean, so indirect. Because you would never say, Captain, I believe we are coming in too low, because that would be a judgment of the captain. And that in the book, Gladwell goes on basically to conclude and also give other examples of where in particular cultures, people will just simply never, ever overtly challenge the person who is considered their superior. It's considered rude. It's considered to be a huge social faux pas. It's simply something that you don't do. And so literally this co-pilot was doing his best within the realms of Korean society to tell the captain that they were in danger. And we listen to this and we think, wow, that is so foreign to us. That is so unusual. And then I had something happen not long ago that was similar, although no one died, and it was cultural. And I think I may have mentioned it, but I want to re-mention it in this context, and that is that there's a Thai restaurant here in the Keys that I absolutely love. It was one of the first places I ate since I got here, and I eat there once a week. And one of the things about living in the Keys is that you can take your dog everywhere. It's kind of amazing. I see people at the doctor's office. I've seen people at the I take Teddy to the chiropractor and he just runs around the table while I'm getting adjusted. Keys are dog friendly, except for one, two, three places that are just adamantly against dogs. And it's ironic because these aren't necessarily the nicest places. These are just, you know, places, restaurants, hotels, etc., bars. So I go and I take Teddy and I go in and I've got him on a leash And I see the waitresses, whom I know their names and everything. And I say, is it okay if I bring the dog in? Yes, 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 yes. Now, this is a Thai restaurant. These are two Thai women whom I just absolutely adore. Because I, being vegan, they always create something special for me. And they're wonderful. So I said, is it okay if I bring the dog in? Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely bring the dog in. So I did. And then the next week I come back to eat by myself and there's a sign that says no pets allowed. Now, I've eaten there weekly for 2 years and I've never seen this sign. So I ask, is this a new sign? Oh, no, no, no. It's been there for 6 months, says one of the waitresses. And I said, oh, okay. Well, is it okay if I still bring my dog in? Oh, of course, of course, of course, of course. Yes, yes, yes. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an overassurance. So the next time I come in, I bring Teddy, and this time I put his emotional support animal vest on him to make it just even a little bit more professional or, you know, less questionable, because the sign is still there. It says no pets allowed. And I walk in and I say, okay, it's okay if he comes in. Yes, 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 absolutely. Please come in, come in, sit over here, bring him over here. Yes, okay, okay, okay. And then the two waitresses start just going at it with each other in Thai. And I don't understand a word they're saying. And then finally, one of them comes over and says, maybe next time you don't bring the dog. And I said, I only bring him because you've told me repeatedly that it's okay. Maybe next time you don't bring him. Now, notice it wasn't we've changed our mind, you can't bring the dog, or we should have never told you that you can't bring the dog, or anything like that. It was so indirect. Maybe next time you don't bring the dog. Now, my ego mind went, geez, how passive aggressive can you get? And then I remembered that story that Malcolm Gladwell tells about the downing of the Korean airliner. And I realized, in my opinion, this is me projecting, so don't flay the skin off of me. It is their culture that you don't take direct comments. You don't make direct comments, especially at somebody, I presume, who is a customer or a patron of your business. You're very indirect. You're very reassuring in the moment, but then you very indirectly try and steer what's going on. I want us to realize that we all live in a different world. Excuse me. These wonderful women who serve me such cool customized food once a week literally live in a different world where it would be just not the thing to make a statement like that. And there are people who don't necessarily have to have a different culture than we do that are going to act differently than we are. In other words, someone could have the exact same culture, but we all live in a very different world. Some of us live in a world where we feel like we cannot be assertive, where we cannot ask to have our needs met because we're used to either not getting our needs met or getting friction or static when we ask because we ask clumsily. Just like I consider this whole experience with my Thai restaurant to have been a clumsy experience, I think, because had I understood in the beginning that maybe they were reassuring me and when the sign came up, they meant that sign. And even though I asked, it was just clumsy. We want to be able to speak directly and to express where it is we're coming from. And it can be quite frustrating for those of us who are able to do that. That has never been a problem for me. Telling someone exactly what it is I think and I feel that has not been a challenge. But for other people, it's very, very difficult. And we need to understand that they literally live in a different world from us. So when I say that other people live in a different world from us, I want you to get the corollary, which is the main point, and that is that you live in a different world from everybody else. Let me say that again. You live in a different world from everybody else. You literally see it differently. You see things differently. I was listening to this audio book about Zen koans this morning, and one of them was, how can you make Mount Fuji take three steps to the right? And my immediate thought was, the mountain only exists in my mind, according to Zen. Therefore, if I take three steps to the right, the mountain has moved. I thought that was a pretty easy answer. But the point is that my perspective is the perspective for me. But everybody else's perspective, just because they're standing slightly differently from me and have had slightly or dramatically different experiences, everyone lives in another world. Now, the challenge is, a lot of us walk around saying, what the hell is wrong with you? Can't you see what the world really is like? And judging other people, rather than simply being, okay, being curious. I get it. You live in a different world. And sometimes it's very beneficial to say, I am so grateful I don't live in that person's world. I've had many conversations, you have too, with angry, paranoid people who just think, whatever, you know. And you listen to this and you just think, I am so grateful I don't live in your world. Now, sometimes it's fun to beam down to their world. I remember having a conversation with somebody about something, and I couldn't have disagreed more, although I didn't disagree. I just listened and asked questions. And I actually did some research to see what it was like in that person's world. You live in a different world than everybody else. And so the trouble we get into is when we expect everybody to see things the way that we see them. We live in our own cultural dynamic experience. So first and foremost, claim your world. What kind of world do you live in? Do you live in a healthy, happy, growing, loving, thriving world? Or do you live in a world that's just going to hell? You know, I'm 61 years old, and I hear people my age talking about that all the time. The world's going to hell. The reason I bring up my age is that I remember being 10 or 8 and hearing people in their 60s saying, the world is going to hell. It's all a matter of trying to make yourself feel important, because the world doesn't meet your standards of what a world should look like. Take that in. It's all about trying to make yourself look important. My world isn't the right world, except for me. It's not your world. It doesn't have to be anyone else's world. What is your world? And more importantly, once you figure it out, this is the key. What kind of world do you want to live in? And you have to see it first around you. You have to look for evidences of it around you. As you find those evidences, they will expand. Right now, what we tend to do is we tend to look at the things that are going wrong and focus on them. And that's what is going to expand in our mind. Visit a world of gratitude, but don't insist that other people join you, because they won't. And since I said that, everybody, please click share if you would. Those of you who are here regularly, I know so often that you click share very much. And I thank you so much. I'm going back and reading while I'm talking, which means that I'm not doing well with either one. Mary Miner says share. She's the first one to click share this morning. Thanks so much. Antacid turns or whatever helps the cramps to help magically disappear. Not sure why, but relief. Whew, good advice. For me, I find, Linda, too, that if I take my magnesium supplements on a regular basis, that it works really well. It may have been blank. I don't know. I think Malcolm Gladwell has written 5 books or more, and I've read all but the most recent one. Nemo says yes. Lisa says, or Michelle says, very true. Michelle, I do this. I say how I feel, and I realize it was taken wrong, begin backpedaling and just make it worse. There you go. As a Southerner, I was brought up to sugarcoat everything. Sometimes it can be detrimental. Meemaw, amen. As a Southerner too, grew up Columbia, South Carolina, lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. My mom did Bridge Club with the Pearls and everything else. man, I was never raised how to effectively express what it was I wanted. And when you did, it was considered, what do you think? Complaining. Grateful to be able to attend a funeral as a guest and not a host. Lost many sweet people this season. Susan, I am so sorry to hear that. There have been a lot of people who have made the transition in this last year. Oh my God, I'm laughing my head off. I love this perspective. Good, Michelle, glad to hear it. Cynthia says, I find lessons taught like this every day in class. With diversity in classrooms today, it is not uncommon to see the cultural differences daily. Thank you for sharing this. You know, it's funny when you talk about that, Cynthia, I go back and I think about the end of the original Planet of the Apes, where Maurice the orangutan, I'm talking about the 60s, is teaching all the young baby, and he's got apes and gorillas and orangutans. That's all the three there are. But anyway, how they're all trying to get along, and I see us all as just like, we're all different expressions of the same great, in that case, they called it the great ape or whatever it was. And yet the cultural differences are there. And I think they need to be celebrated, not watered down. Barb J says, different worlds, many shifts in all experiences. My workplace is all about clear expectations, measurement, feedback, consequences. Glad I'm learning this, Wilbo. I'll bet you are. That is great. I guard my tongue most of the time, but sometimes I will say things and I later wonder if it was right to say. Oh my gosh, me too. Me too, me too, me too, me too. I had an interaction with somebody the other day and it just got more escalated. And finally, in the middle of it, I said, I got to de-escalate this. And I said, you know, I just want to thank you. And I shook the guy's hand and I made some reason up for thanking him. And I was like, way to go, Will. And it all turned. It all got much better after that. Willow has shared. Meemaw has shared. Linda has shared. Christy has shared. Susan has shared. Thank you so much, Susan, so much. Susan, we never know what's going on in other people's lives. I know. That's that existential aloneness that we all experience. Light bulbs just went up. Glad to hear it, says Mary. Michelle. Mary shared. Michelle shared. Cynthia shared. Bobby Williams, my cousin, is here. Good to see you. Thanks for that perspective. Good to see you, buddy. Sherrod says, Heather Ellis, I am so sorry, Susan. I lost my mother last month. Cynthia, I am so sorry to hear that. Bless you. We send you love and support. We all have the same inner spirit, but are expressing it in our own unique ways. Not only that, we literally live in different worlds. I think, yeah, hey, Susan, very sweet. We literally live in all different in different worlds. And as we realize that, when we walk around out into the world, we're able to live more compassionately and less judgmentally. Thanks for being with me, everybody. Look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. I can tell you what we're going to jumpstart. Oh, yes, being psychosomatic. I'm looking forward to this. I'm calling this jumpstart being psychosomatic. You already are psychosomatic. There's a hint. Thanks, everybody, for joining me today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating. Complain-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.